Perfect. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hello to all. So what we're going to start with is a round of howdies. My name's Barbara, I'm vice chair, and I'm so happy you're here today. I'm going to pass it off to our chair, Ken. Ken, are you there?
Yeah, this is Ken Carroll. So. Go ahead. Next.
Hi, this is Susan Heider. Good morning, all.
This is Sharon Faulkner-Glaspie with Intermountain Center's Foster Care, also adoptive parent.
Thanks, Sharon.
Phyllis Grant with Family Involvement Center, parent, member.
Here, Phyllis. I believe that's all our members, right? Ken, Barbara, Susan, Sharon, and Phyllis. Then, Susan, you've got your presenting up. Oh, there you go.
I know, I'm trying to figure out where I am. Oh, there I am.
I understand.
I'm playing.
Yeah.
Stop laughing at me, Larry.
Understand. And then I guess I'll pass it off to Frederica.
Hi, everyone. It's Frederica with Access.
Larry?
Oh, Tyson's here. Hi, Tyson. Oh.
Tyson, please. Good morning. Please. We've had a round of introductions, but did you want to go ahead and take a roll call, or would you?
Barbara, for time's sake, if you and I can just touch base here if you already have that list of folks.
Okay, we're going. Thanks. Glad you're here. Thanks, Tyson. Okay. Larry, I'm sorry. Larry?
Sure, no problem. Larry Allen with ADOA.
Perfect. Okay. And then, by the way, anyone, if you're not speaking, and I'll try to remember, also mute your little microphone, because we get a lot of feedback otherwise. Thank you, everybody. Okay, so, and then we have, Tyson, I think it's, you're up.
Told me to mute my microphone, and I followed your directions, Barbara. Tyson Gillespie, committee member and professional in the field.
Yes. Thanks. And then we've got Joe's here.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Kautzman with Banner Health Plan, the Office of Individual and Family Affairs.
Thanks, Joe. And Melissa, where's Melissa?
Hi, this is Melissa Brown. I work for Arizona Complete Health. I'm the Individual and Family Affairs Manager.
Perfect. Thanks, Melissa. And then we've got Asim.
Hi, everyone. This is Asim Dietrich. I'm a staff attorney at the Arizona Center for Disability Law.
Okay, wonderful. And Alex?
Hey, good morning, everyone. Alex Demian, I'm the Advocacy Administrator here with Access. Thanks for having me.
Advocacy, okay. Excellent. Okay, I will just kind of work on the agenda. And so first on the docket is, hopefully everyone will have... mute. 3 and 8, 9 need to mute. Ken, is that you? Is that you, buddy? You need to mute. Oh, thank you. There. Now, there she goes. Thank you so much. I'm going to turn it over to both Frederica and then also Larry for any. Oh, I'm sorry. I was speaking about minutes. They are, again, on our live on the website. And we still need to come around with a way to have comments on that. Does anybody have any comments if they have checked the minutes? Any comments out there? Okay, crickets. So we'll move on. Okay, so any announcements from either Larry or Frederica?
This is Frederica. I don't have any announcements. Just want you all to know that I did send out for the meeting last week, I did send out the information you all requested for the housing presentation that had took place. So if you guys have any questions in regards to that, feel free to email me and I will get those to the subject matter experts. Also, just wanted to let you all know, well, specifically Susan, I am working on your request that you submitted through the QM portal. So that is all I have for today. Thank you all.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Larry. I was just going to give Frederica you, by the way. I recently got myself knocked off the portal, my fault, and she had me back in short order. I just want to say thank you, Frederica. So anyone, if you have trouble and if you do end up off the portal, you can't get access, it's really simple and fast to get back in, and Frederica is your go-to. So again, thank you, Frederica. Sorry, Larry. There you go.
That was actually Tyson. I just had a question for Frederica. That PowerPoint was great. Do you know if the organization will be presenting here in Southern Arizona for stakeholders anytime, or just like a Zoom presentation?
If you guys want that, we can get in touch with them to have them do the presentation for you all. You all will just need to get with your committee and determine when you'd like that to take place, and then I will email to set that up for you all. So sure. Not a problem at all. Just let me know when you guys like that to happen.
And also, we can make sure to get you any upcoming webinar presentations where that content is going to be presented to the community more broadly as well. We're running a lot of those coming up here in the next couple of months, so we can make sure to get all of that info to the committee as well.
For the rest of the committee members, Ken and I were at the meeting with Frederica and Larry, and we got this news that we had no idea was out there, and I don't even know at what point in the agenda. I'd like to speak to it, and because it is of concern. Ken and I discussed it, and we've asked Melissa to actually speak to this too. It's something new that's happened with the way our clients are housed. It's gone from a distributed, basically each region taking care of their the housing. And I'm not talking about hospitals and that type of thing, but you know, like you know, that they're whether what do you call those places? I don't know if there's a regular term, but anyway, there's these rooms, beds, places available, and there's only so many in the state. Well, it went from distributed to basically a fella got a contract up in Maricopa, and so they're going to be in charge. So it's gone centralized again. And from my history, I've watched that happen to things, other industries. They go centralized, they go distributed, centralized. And generally, the distributed works better because the regions take care of their people better. And now it's back to a centralized where they own all the beds for the whole state. And we're concerned about how it might be divvied up. So I'm just kind of doing a briefie for our committee members. So this was brand new news to us. Frederica sent us the PowerPoint from that meeting that they used as a presentation. We're asking for a presentation. So that's basically what it's about. How did I do, Larry and Frederica? Is close enough on what happened there?
Yes, that's correct.
Larry, do you have any?
That's a pretty good synopsis, Barbara. And I think Dr. Potts just joined the meeting as well. And I'm not sure if he has anything to add to the. I know he just came in the conversation, so. But regarding the housing presentation that was done at his meeting last week.
Yes.
If you have any questions, the presentation was done last week, and I will be happy to send the group the link to to Dr. Potts' IOC meeting and the chat here in a minute. So that way you could, if you wanted to listen today, you can listen to his meeting. It was a good meeting, and pretty detailed conversation, and there were some really good questions asked. So I'd be happy to do that for you guys. Do you got a question, Susan?
I was actually going to ask for what you just said.
Okay.
I don't know if everybody got that email, Frederica, or not, or if I'm just one of those people that keeps losing emails. But I would very much like to see that. And Larry, if you can send me the link to Dr. Potts' meeting, I'd love to review that. That's interesting. Sure. Thank you.
Not a problem. I'd be happy to do so.
Larry, this is Ken. Just a brief introduction. As far as, can you send out the contact? It was a David, the fellow that presented? For the residential group, we're talking in terms of SMI, alternative housing, and it was presented with David, was his name?
Yes, it was David Bridge and Charles Sullivan.
And Charles, if you could send at least the contact information, I'd appreciate it. You can follow up with them. That you can know, as far as, maybe it was on the video, I'm not sure.
And
yes, well, we'll post it in the chat box for you guys, so that way you can have it, and then I will get the chat sent to me in a PDF format. So I'll turn around, send that back out to the group, so you can have that file. So if you need the links or further information on that, so you don't have to worry about cutting and pasting and writing it down and all that. So I'll get that out to the group. But
Good
for you. If you're on the phone and cannot access it, so
yeah,
be happy to do that for you.
Right now I'm on the phone, of course.
That's perfect. Okay. Thank you. Perfect. And again, good morning.
Oh, you're welcome.
Potts, and we were just discussing upfront of our meeting about your meeting and some of our concerns about what we actually learned there. So that's what this discussion is about, and we are going to. It looks like we're going to request a presentation down here, and ask a lot of questions. So anyway, do you have any comments or any thoughts on that, Dr. Potts?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. No, and I apologize for being a little late. I thought the Access representative, Mr. Bridge, was very knowledgeable. I think they're anticipating the changes. I think it's coming up on October 1. Is that right, Frederica? Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah. October 1 is the goal date.
Yeah. And I'm somewhat optimistic because I think it'll help to have standardized reporting procedures and evaluation procedures. I know I do have respect, as I told my colleagues, Ken, that for ABC. And for Home Inc., we've had some good experiences with them up here. And again, these are not sites, as we talked about, that will be amenable, particularly to site visits, because they're individual homes, apartments is what they are, essentially, is my understanding, that people have leases to be more individual. There may be some where there's a supervision at the complex. But again, it's essentially, and I've analogized it to Section 8 for SMIs run by the state. Is that sort of make sense, Frederica and Larry?
Some of them are that way.
Yeah.
But not all of them. So.
What way? Some of that way. What do you mean by that way?
Well, because some of them are run by different housing providers at this point. So, I mean, they don't all look the same, but I mean, there's a huge mixture. At least I'm speaking for Central. I don't really know about Northern and Southern, but for the Central location, there's a lot of different variables of how those programs are put into place. And because I'm not currently the subject matter expert, I don't want to go into a whole lot of detail about that here. But if there are specific questions and or, again, we can get David and Charles to come and do that presentation, I think that would be the best route to take, because they're going to be are working in that particular vein right now. But, you know, again, it's similar to Section 8, but not all of the beds that we currently have for the central are done that way. But that's the best way to put it.
My understanding is none of them are going to be licensed. None of them are licensed behavioral health residential treatment facilities, are they?
Well, it's not residential, it's housing.
Right.
So it is going to look different. Yes, it's pretty much the model is housing first and then treatment on top of it.
Right.
If you really think of it that way.
So that's my sense. I think then we as IOCs will be able to have input as to what type of visits people have on. I mean, the agency's access or Home Inc. does on a monthly or quarterly or annual basis prior to renewal of lease. The sites about we could request issues regarding crime in around those areas, et cetera. So I think it'll be a central repository, which will help versus dealing with 32 different agencies. But that was my optimism. And as a shrink who's worked in a jail, I'm very optimistic. Much to my
great.
Anyway, thank you.
I think it's important that probably we do have them present here. I think the concerns that I've heard as a provider, and I don't want to speak for what Ken or Barbara's concerns were, is making sure that each region has resources to accommodate the need. Those of us who live south sometimes think of Maricopa as the state of Maricopa, and we have to kind of follow whatever is set for there. And so I think making sure that the regions have allocations to support the members that would be in supported housing is, at least that's what my concern would be.
Well, I'm gonna suggest that they're coming from a ground zero where there's 3,200 sites right now, and those sites are distributed however they are currently distributed. So the issue is not starting up and then developing more sites central and looking elsewhere. It's how the status quo is and converting that to a single provider type of system. So with the 3,200 sites is the number I heard, 2,800, 3,200, I believe, slots. 2,800, 3,200, and there's that many on the waiting list. So whatever the status quo is, central is not going to take away from what the status quo is. It is what it is. The question is, when the future development of resources, then one needs to look at that. And I agree with that, Mr. Gillespie, but the bottom line is, it is what it is now. And so by doing this, it's not going to change that. So I don't think we need to worry about, you know, is central or is one area going to steal? No, we need to see what the distribution currently is and then work towards more even distribution if it is unfair down the road. But again, it's just simply a change of the status quo to a different screening agency and sort of oversight agency is my understanding. And remember, there's 2,800 to 3,200 sites now, and a waiting list of 2,800 to 3,200 people as well. And some are GMH too, is my understanding. They'll permit them, not just Title 19. But anyway, but I agree, Mr. Gillespie, because it is a state of Maricopa.
Right. Just to piggyback, Jack, this is Ken. Again, we talked about the other day, that 2,800 was the number, at least one of the numbers was stuck in my head. I'd like to see in the future, not to go down in the weeds right now, but how does that distribute across the state in terms of that, as far as south, central, north?
Clearly.
For example, just to get a start point in that, where are we with that type of thing? So not today, but just to add that to a follow-up with David.
Yeah. Frederica, when we set this presentation up, I would be excited, and we'll add these questions because, as you know, the Southern, we cover a border to border from, you know, Yuma to all the way over to Texas. So there's a lot of territory here. So we were curious about where we would be sitting with this, you know, what we would be allocated now that they've gone centralized. So anyway, so I had quite a few questions, and the concern again that we would perhaps not have a chance for oversight at all, you know, so or any input or so. Anyway, those are some of them, but we'll move on. To be followed up on, and thank you everybody, and thanks Dr. Potts for your input on that. So, okay. Larry, did you say you had anything from ADOA or?
No, Barbara, I don't really have any other updates other than I sent the link out to the meeting for the central presentation, that the housing presentation in the chat. I'll also send that out via email too, if that's a little easier for the group. And I really don't have any other updates. If anybody has any questions for me, please let me know. I'm also actively recruiting for other IOCs, even for other agencies, for DDD and Access both. So if you run across somebody looking to join a committee, please let me know, and I can direct them to the active chair of that committee. We're just looking to build our committee members, build up the committee. So please let me know. Other than that, I'll let you go. And if you have any other questions, please let me know.
Thanks, Larry. We sure will keep our ears and eyes open. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Has Jason checked in? I don't see his name anywhere. So, okay, Sergeant, he isn't here today. That's okay.
Hey, I'll just throw out there that Jason has worked with our site. We have the two ACT teams in Pima County. And a lot of folks are on COT, and his mental health unit has been fantastic at supporting some complex issues over the past like 30, 45 days. So they're definitely out there helping out.
He is so wonderful. He is just, Sergeant Winsky is just wonderful. Anyway, okay, I'll go on to, thanks, Tyson. Member recruitment outreach, anyone have any news? I know that goes along the lines of what Larry was asking, but has anybody been able to reach anyone interested in joining up? Okay, I'm in the same boat. I lost my recruit. Okay, moving on. Deaths, incidents, seclusion, restraints. Has anybody had time to take a look on the portal, go to the portal and check out any reports?
Hi, this is Susan. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I just double-checked it about 20 minutes ago. Here's the status. Ken, your train's beeping. I was able to, as of this morning, not to say there won't be more coming in, but I was able to complete 70 reports for March, which is all of them, with the exception of the children reports. There's 16 of those, and I'll come back to that in a moment. So, and then moving into April, I was able to complete 73 reports, which was all of them, and leaving 11 children's reports. So in total, I reviewed 143 reports, which was 100% of the reports. Now, let me add a little donut to that. Every 15 minutes, I go back into April, and there's another report that's just been added. So I'll keep doing that throughout the day. So all of March and all of April are caught up, to the best of my knowledge, with the exception of the children's reports. There's 27 children's IAD reports outstanding for both months combined. I reviewed about a half a dozen of those, Frederica, wouldn't you say? And I had to stop. Two reasons. One, I lacked the knowledge of the children's systems. And I don't feel like without training from, I think, Sharon and Phyllis, is that right? That I'm able to manage those reports in a
in the right way. And secondly, I will tell you, it was extremely emotional for me reviewing the children's reports. I can't handle those. So after about a half dozen of them, I had to stop doing those. So I think when we get to the point of assigning subcategories to each committee members, which will follow the portal training, which I want to bring up next, the children's categories, I would suggest, would be best managed by those folks integrally involved in children's services. That's just my recommendation. So that's where we're at on the reports. I don't think we could go back to February if the committee thinks that's appropriate, or we've got March done, we've got April done through this morning. It's 10:15 this morning. So more of those will come in, or do we just move forward from March? And that's up to whatever the committee thinks.
Just real quick, with the children's reports, Susan, I don't get into the portal, so I don't know what they look like.
Right.
But with the children's reports, like, I would be concerned about, like, if a concern comes in, then if we interject into those, would it impede any other investigation that's currently going on?
Yeah.
So, like, if it's Department of Child Safety, or, I mean, there's criminal investigations sometimes with foster homes and non-foster homes, as well as behavioral health agencies, I would worry about getting involved with those, just because those are all, again, with children, it's a little bit different than the adults, but because there's so many different layers of investigations with those, I would worry if we go in there, then we may impede some other type of investigation. And
yeah,
maybe, or Frederica, I don't know if you guys can speak more to that, but that would be my worry, which is why I've never really looked at the children's reports when I did have access to the portal, because the last thing we want to do is interject ourselves into the investigation and somehow skew things one way or another. And I think that's somebody that does investigations for an agency and is a part of those as part of foster care. So,
and that's, I think, a valid point. I, in retrospect, several of them that I read, it's impossible to tell what's going on in the background. You know, are Child Protective Services involved? Are the police involved? I mean, some of them are really quite horrible. And that's why I say I would turn it over to the experts, such as yourself, Sharon, and Frederica. To Sharon's point, I don't know how those should be handled. I really don't.
So, I mean, my understanding is that we're reviewing to make sure appropriate action and response were done by the provider agencies. So if there could be an APS report for an adult that we may be reviewing the incident from, but that's outside of the purview of review. And so the review is, you know, do we feel that there was an inadequate intervention or response by the provider agency? And the child welfare or adult protective issue is outside of what the purview of review is. And maybe I'm wrong, but at least that's how I understand what our.
No, I think you're absolutely right, Tyson.
That's how I agree. We're not investigating, we're reviewing the reviewers, we're oversight. In other words, did the investigation go in and do adequate, you know, due diligence, but we're not going to go into the weeds of the investigation, but rather it appears a little bit of information we have that they've done due diligence. It's not been overlooked, or it's just, you know, stamped unknown.
Yes.
I think we could do that, but that would not interfere with the internal investigation. Just simply when it's completed, there should be a report on it, and the report then should be available confidentially, of course, to the group.
Right.
It's my suggestion.
I agree with both you.
That's what I did when I used to investigate them when I was on this before. on the Human Rights Committee, now the IOC. That's exactly what we did, review the review. Frederica, this fellow's, so I did not do the training. I no longer have access to the portal. So I would love for me and Sharon to be able to do that for the children's side. So I need to let you, I guess, communicate with you, Frederica, about getting back on the portal and doing the training. I totally forgotten about it and missed it. So if that's possible.
Yes. Thanks, Phyllis. And that leads right into my next comment. I would propose, Frederica, I think it's you, that we determine a date and time that's amenable to all the committee members that need to go through the QM portal training again, which is probably just about everybody, or a refresher. And is it possible to get that started, kind of play around, see what dates and times are available for everybody? I think it lasted about an hour, if I remember correctly. And I know it's hard for those folks who actually have jobs and don't just lay around in the sun like me all day, haha. But is that something we can work towards?
Yes, absolutely. If you guys want to come up with a date or a couple of dates and shoot those over to me, and we can definitely get that done for you. That's not a problem at all.
Barbara, I'm sorry.
I just want to add, Susan, I worked on the pediatric side for about 15, 16 years. And so in the interim, as folks who are still in the system of children's system of care, I'd be happy to review the ones that came in from March and April. I am not happy to go back any further. I don't want to go back.
I think March and April is plenty. And there's not, in comparison to the adult reports, there's only 27 in all of March and April combined of the children's report. If you have the knowledge like yourself, Tyson, I mean, you can shoot through those in probably an hour at the most. So that'd be great. Frederica or maybe Barb, what's the best way to determine, get everybody together and kind of determine a best time and date and so forth?
Thank you, Susan. Thank you for all of that, by the way. And
you're welcome
on that reporting. My gosh, thank you, thank you. I'll work with Frederica to get some dates, and then I'll circulate them to y'all, and then we'll see what works for most people, because I too would like a refresher always. And then it would be a wonderful thing if we keep it together. And then we can have discussion, of course, among ourselves. And that way, Phyllis, you can jump on board again. And I would like a refresher, because like I say, I got back on the portal. I went out there and I was able to, get my PDF of what was going on. And I noticed all these reviewed. Now I know why they were reviewed. I thought they were reviewed, or does it not mean, is that just a checkbox? But I think now I realize what you've done.
Yeah, good that point. One check means
good point.
And I couldn't remember. I was scratching my head. So okay, Frederica, you and I'll get together, because I know you have to set up a trainer for us. And we've lost our beloved CJ. And that's fine. She's on to bigger things, but I know you have a new person that can maybe book some time for us.
Yes, absolutely.
And then if you'll give me her availability, then I will make sure that my crew knows, we'll make the best date for everybody. Okay.
Sounds good.
If I may, this is Dr. Potts.
Of course.
Ms. Hyder, a couple things. Number one is, just as an aside, in Central Arizona, in the month of March, we have 370 child and adolescent IEDs.
Wow.
A few more than you do. Number one, but that's just as an aside. Number two, and you probably do this, and I'm fairly ignorant, but CJ said before, if you search by document date versus incident date, you won't have to go back, because incident dates can get repopulated later. They may have the incident date, they may file it a week or 2 weeks after. So I thought that if you file it by document, if you search by document date, that document date's not going to change. Once it's met March 30th, there ain't going to be anyone's any more document dated in March. That's my understanding.
Interesting. Right. I actually searched by both.
Okay. But, well, then that's being redundant, obviously. But if you search, because
that answers my question. I've been thinking about that. Yeah. Why have I seen this report before? Okay.
Yeah, you have. And then, so that's what she suggested, CJ did. The other thing is, I'd like to know when that QM portal training will be, because then I'll let our members know, and Northern Arizona should know in case they have the ability to attend. So some of us need refreshers. And CJ, this is something I'd comment on, Ms. Graham, is CJ had showed us how to use the Excel spreadsheet to help. So if your trainer is not familiar with that, maybe they could become familiar with that. What CJ, do some of you remember that Excel spreadsheet, there is one available on the site that will help sort some of these issues and locations and things. So that's very valuable. So I'm going to suggest that we get that you may want Southern Arizona to get an update on that site, and the trainer should be familiar with that, whoever that is, and I'm sure CJ would be willing to come in for 15 minutes or so. Another thing on the IADs, if I may, is Chris Gonzalez of Northern Arizona and Jim Ward of Central Arizona are working on Barbara, you remember at the quarterly meeting, Chris gave that presentation about how to sort and how to keep track of the IEDs and what the issues were, et cetera. Well, Jim, our guy, is getting in touch. Do you remember that?
Very much so. But it was, I got it because I know Excel, but I thought, wow, if you don't know Excel, this is going to make you crazy.
And I don't know Excel. But anyway, our guy is going to work on it too. And that's maybe something want to look at.
Heavy layer, because I find that once I go to the portal and I look for either incident or, you know, like you say, you know, your by date or by incident, and then I pull it down, and then I convert it to a PDF, and then I download that. It populates one of my Excel spreadsheets, you know, a brand new spreadsheet, and it's populated with whatever is up on that server. It's all there for me. I don't really need I just don't need any more than that personally, because I thought what he was doing was a lot of extra work personally.
That's what I sort of said at the meeting, if you remember, because I think that the one that CJ showed us that's already on the website may be adequate. So maybe that's what may be a tool for all of us to look at as a common tool, so we can have sort of criteria. So the Excel that's already populated on the website.
Well, I don't know, Frederica, maybe you can answer this. I don't believe, I'm not positive sure. I don't think it's that Excel is on the portal. What it is you download a data sheet that populates the Excel on your machine.
It's a PDF file.
I know there's a PDF file. CJ showed us another file that she uses that you can sort those documents on the portal site. I wrong on that?
It's like Barbara said, Dr. Potts, it's how you download it. When you pull the report and the request, you download it to an Excel spreadsheet. So,
and that's where you do the
sort. It's from the portal, yes, but a download that you create from the portal request.
She also showed to my recollection that you can sort on the portal by location, for example.
But that's through the Excel spreadsheet.
So it's all there. We don't have to. My point is, you don't have to download the PDF. You can just sort all of the IADs.
I don't think so. You're mentioning something now. You know what? You might have a. I can't remember that part. Can you, Frederica? I kind of know. I know what Dr. Potts is referring to, but I can't remember. I thought that was done on your spreadsheet.
Just the point is, there's something there. It'd be good for all to get training in, and me especially, because I don't know Excel. But there was something that may help for sorting that. So when you're going to get your training set, let me know, so I'll let our people know. Absolutely. The other thing is, you know, on the investigation issue, I thought that Ms. Faulkner and Mr. Gillespie and Dr. Carroll's brought up, well, I think why could you not put a query in? Has this been forwarded to another agency such as DCS or such as APS? So that's, you can put that as a query, you know, and my feeling is some of these IADs we get haven't been and aren't referred on. So we need to say, gee, what has anything been done on this case? Has this been referred to DCS? Is there an ongoing investigation?
No.
And if not, why not?
Right.
So, yeah, so that's a step we can take. We don't just need, you know, as Ken pointed out, yeah, if there's been an investigation, fine, we can review the investigation later. But sometimes they haven't been. That's our job then to say, gee, what are you doing to follow up on this? Or should we follow up independently because no one's doing anything else?
I think it's outside our realm of responsibility to follow up independently. However, I do agree, but many of the reports, if not most of them, will, if Adult Protective Services needs to be contacted, for example, neglect or abuse of a vulnerable adult, let's say, it may say something to the effect of APS has been contacted. In some cases, I have put through an inquiry, in some cases, as to what was the outcome of the APS investigation. I don't know if that's outside my realm of responsibility, but I put it in anyway because I want to know. And, you know, I guess I'll hear if that's outside my area of responsibility.
No.
But to your point, Dr. Potts, I agree with that. And also, by the way, call me Susan. You don't have to worry about Ms. Hyder. That was a long time ago. But, yeah, it's a very interesting scenario. And could you clarify for me, Dr. Potts, did you say search by document date or incident date?
Barbara may know better. I believe if you search by document date, then you'll capture them all because, and therefore you don't need to do the other. I think that's what CJ recommended as well. I'm not sure, but and there can also, then you can see that say, hey, how come the document came 2 weeks after the incident? And you can say, gee, this seems to be too long of a lag.
Yes.
Okay. The next point is, I believe at our committee, we have the obligation to initiate investigations at certain times. And the authority is in statute that we can investigate. Right. So, you know, I agree we shouldn't step on other, nor do we want to, nor do we have the resources to. But in other cases, we do investigations and actively investigate and demand records. So if you feel something isn't being done in depth, or APS was looked at it and put it aside, they have a different criteria for violations than we do. So, you know, there's a Venn diagram, there's a lot of overlap, but there's some that is our purview as well, I think. So I think we can investigate in it, and we are obligated to in certain cases. That's just my thoughts, folks.
Right.
I just would throw out there, I mean, along this line, is that I think the content training on how to access the portal, how to filter through the portal is really important for folks getting in. But the actual review and knowing for what red flags that we should do follow-up on, how we should provide feedback, I'm not sure that's part of the training. At least I don't recall that it was. It was the navigation of the portal, using the portal. But to what Dr. Potts was speaking to, where we should and can intervene, and then also red flags that folks should be looking for, was not part of that training. And I think that's something that potentially the IOCs could work on or collaborate together, that there's some standardization of how those are reviewed and what actions are being recommended.
And this is an issue, and thank you, Tyson. This is an issue I've brought up multiple times, and that being, aside from the portal training, I have yet to see, and thank you, Frederica, for what you sent me last month, but it still didn't answer the question. I've yet to see an updated screening guidelines, if you will, for what is a reviewer actually supposed to be looking for when they're looking at an IAD report? What are the red flags? What are the questions? And these are very critical issues for somebody new to reviewing reports. And Barb, you and I have talked about it multiple times. And I don't know where that comes from. It may come from the IOC combined meetings of the chairs, vice chairs, and what have you. But I think that's absolutely critical for reviewers.
Okay. I agree, Susan. You're absolutely right. And I think, I don't know if we can do it in tandem. If we should, let's get people up on the portal maybe first to get started. But
right.
Frederica, is there something we can do? And Susan is so correct. I know Larry and I, we spoke, and I think you pointed me toward our manual, our big manual, supposed to have some information in it. But Susan wasn't able to find it there either about these kind of questions. And Frederica, is there such a thing as a training? I had always hoped that we could get together as a group once people started using the portal, and we could talk among ourselves and say, how are you doing this? What are you looking for? You know what I'm saying? You know, and sharing our experiences. That's what I had hoped for, but we've been all kind of struggling to get on and figure out how to use a portal.
Barbara, if I can, and sure. I don't want to block Frederica here, but I believe, and our committee believes, we don't go to Access to ask what we should be looking at, because we're supposed to be monitoring Access. So I'm going to suggest that it's not the role of Frederica. She may give us some guidance. If you look at Rule 921-203, it talks about protection from abuse, neglect, exploitation. There are certain rules and regulations that are already in statute or in rules that define what human rights violations are to some extent. And the next quarter, as you suggested, we're going to, the IOC chairs are going to talk about site visits and standardize certain issues that may be red flags or yellow flags in site visits. So I think this is a perfect issue to talk about what are the red or yellow flags we look at. But also, I believe it's a sniff test. You walk into a place, it smells like urine. That's nowhere in the regulations. You know, you walk into a place, would I kennel my dog here? So I think each IOC, we've looked at that at ad nauseum, and to some extent, what do we look at when we go to site visits? And we decide what we think is important. But that's why you have different expertise. You know, the mother of the SMI, the architect, the, you know, the police officer, someone who can then say, gee, this didn't fit my thoughts of security because it's beyond my understanding. So that's the value of the representatives we have in the committee. So I think there can be some standardized stuff that's in statute. Like we looked at for quite a while, we looked at phone calls, accessibility of telephones to the clients. A lot of places were limiting phone calls. We're not letting them have that. That's a human rights violation, and it's actually in regulations. So we do have some basic guidelines. People need to look at the regulations, I think. I think the manual may spell some of those out. But I also think that our own expertise walking through the sites or looking at the IEDs say, gee, something's funny here. You know, this person was dead for 3 days before they found them. Or did this person, was it drugs? Was it an overdose? We need to get the tox report and follow up and say, why did they overdose? So I think there's some personalization, individual committee focuses permitted, and the rules and regs give us some guidelines.
Thanks.
But I'd hate to have it be a checklist that the other agencies use, that APS uses, that the licensure uses. But, you know, it's more of a, you know, it's more people, volunteers who have their own semi-agendas that gives a value to our committee. Just that's just my thoughts on that. And that's where we can, as a group of IOCs, come up with some sort of skeleton. And then individual committees can put their muscles on the skeleton and the skin. Just a thought, folks.
No, I think it's fantastic what you brought up. Joe, by the way, you raised your hand. Did you have something to add on with this?
Are you talking Joe with Banner?
I saw a hand raised, Joe.
Oh, no, not me.
This is Joanna Kyle, IOC member.
Hi. There you are.
I would just like to add that through practice, I've gotten a better sense of what to look for. And in the vast majority of cases, the providers are doing exactly what they should be. And any incidents, accidents, deaths that happen are generally don't implicate the providers. But I would love to know more about the letter of correction process and what happens and how the providers respond when they are deemed somehow responsible or could have done something better for the member. Just making sure that follow through that's been prescribed by the other reviewers, making sure that has the effect that it's supposed to have, if perfectly possible.
Thanks. And I hear you. I was going to add on too that I do the seclusion restraints or have done them for a long time in the past and site visits. And I rely on my social work training and so forth and all the times that I've visited. And like you say, just from experience of being out there. And that was a concern, Susan, why I didn't have a quick answer for you on how about, you know, some red flags, because it would be hard to, you know, write down what a person bases on their experiences and their training and so forth. It would be hard to condense that onto a page or two. So I was struggling with what on earth we could come up with. And I thought, well, then let's talk among ourselves and see if we can't teach each other or in some fashion. And like you say, Dr. Potts, from our experiences and then sharing. And I think it would be best. I think the best information is from our community our volunteers, our committee members, our IOC members. I think we've got a wonderful, talented, clever group that can share and do this. And I hope that lets you off the Frederica for this, or I'd like your input on it too, as far as what you think about how we might fill this need of how to fulfill our you know, what we're looking at. Because I really appreciate your support over there.
Yeah, so keep in mind, we at Access are here to work with the IOC. So we're not here to do anything other than what you all are here to do. And then that's to make sure that the members' rights are not being violated and that their treatment needs are being heard and followed based off of what they want. So we're here to provide that support to you. Contrary to what folks may believe, I'm always here as a support system. And I am always here with the same goal in mind, the member. So I will always be available for whatever you all need. I will always be available to provide whatever training and resources I have. And if I don't have them, I will always be available and willing to get those for you. So yes, I am, here for your support. And that's where I'll leave that. I will never not give you guys the support that you're seeking. And, you know, contrary to whatever it was in the past, I can't speak to, but from the moment that I've taken on the role for the IOCs and their, you know, support, I've basically, I've always made sure to be here for you all, and that will not stop. I'm here to do whatever it is you guys are seeking. And again, if I don't have the answer, I will always make sure to get the answer for you all. So know that, you know, I'm here for your support with the same goal in mind.
Thanks, Frederick. That's been my experience with you from day one. And I'm just really appreciative of you. So moving forward, then we'll get a training going, and everyone will be notified, and we'll get a date that works for people. And try to figure out if you want it in the AM, PM, or whatever. And then further, we're gonna and Dr. Potts and so forth. Let's put our heads together or think more on this, and we'll come up with ways to, or you know, times that we could maybe have. I don't know how this hits the rules, you know, because I know that there's certain rules that we have to be careful of. But can we just have kibitzes? You know, can we have meetings? Larry, maybe you could speak to this, where we could just talk on this topic, you know, because I know I've been told that there's some sort of, I don't know, rules where we have to be careful when we're meeting. Larry, there's something there that would anything keep us from, as three currently three communities or three committees, North, Central, and South, just calling a date and getting together on a meet setup and then talking about red flags and so forth? Is there anything to keep us from doing that, Larry?
No, not at all.
Good.
You're welcome. You're welcome to do that. And as Dr. Potts mentioned earlier regarding the quarterly meeting for the next chair meeting, I think that would be an excellent topic to discuss on the meeting of the mind, so to speak, and to discuss that. So if you guys wanted to have a pre-meeting or discussion or call regarding that, then absolutely.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. I thank you. Thanks, Larry. And thanks again, Dr. Sure. Potts. And thanks, Frederica, and Joanna and Susan for bringing up what you brought up. It was excellent. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and does anybody have any more on deaths, incidents, seclusion, restraint? Anybody have any questions or comments anymore?
So I just want to make sure that the action says, Susan, I'll help review the March and April children ones, and then we have an action step for the portal orientation or training to be offered to committee members who would like to be able to register for the portal. Is that correct?
Yes. Perfect. Thank you. Thanks, Tyson. Perfect. Okay, I'm going to move on to board and care. That's just not currently. I don't know what to, I don't know. Well, a little more time. I've got my two shots. But it's still too early to head out, so we'll move past board and care for a minute. Well,
let me offer. I was going to formally ask Access when visits will be permitted. As of May 1, I was told Arizona State Hospital is permitting regular visits to come back. So I'm wondering, this is something. We've had our shots, and maybe we could ask, and I don't know if your committee wants to do this, but ask Access, when do they have any objection to committee members who are vaccinated visiting sites? We ought to get maybe a formal.
Yeah, good point, Jack. I'm just going to jump in.
Go for it. Okay. Bye, Phyllis. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Do you have
is that a formal ask? I don't know. I'd be happy to respond, but I just want to make sure.
Okay, go for it. Okay.
We're not going to have anything today. You know, I think, as with most things in the that have ensued in the PHE, there's, you know, a lot of different policies and procedures that all the facilities are going to have. Those are going to have to be taken into consideration. But I would be happy to take, to take that question, you know, that formal question back to our clinical leadership to see if there's a baseline level of guidance that we as Access can sort of offer as some insight to the committees across the state. So definitely happy to take that one back.
Good.
And the, you know, again, the landscape of the PHE is ever shifting, and there's going to be different facilities that have different levels of comfort when it comes to, you know, how they open back up and how they handle visitation and everything like that. So, yeah, that's about all the insight that I can offer at this time, but definitely happy to follow back up next
Perfect.
Time.
Perfect. Thank you, Alex. That was Alex, right?
Yes, that was Alex.
Okay, good. Thanks, Alex. Okay, I haven't pushed Melissa to even get a list of houses. So, Melissa, are you still with us?
Melissa? Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, Barbara.
As I mentioned to you, well, sooner than later, I'm not sure when, we'll be ready to do site visits. But what kind of a lead would you prefer? To get a list?
Like a time frame that I would need to get it prepared? Probably if 30 or 45 days would probably be ideal. That way we can get the providers ready to do it. I would like to kind of get their feedback also and see how long they estimate it would take them to get that information together. But I would assume probably like 30 to 45 days.
That's excellent. Thanks. If you could send me an email down the road, no hurry, no worry. If kind of get a feel for what you're hearing, how prepared okay. I'd really appreciate that. And then I'll share that. I'll send it up to okay. Dr. Share that with Dr. Potts and everyone. Whatever you send. I appreciate it, Melissa. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, so that'll do. We lost Phyllis Darn because our next category is special populations. But Sharon, have you got any updates for us?
Just to let everybody know that everything is back in person right now. It's been a long year, so I know behavioral health is still doing things virtual and hybrid, which is some in person, some virtual. But as far as foster care goes, we are all back in person. We are all back in homes. Department of Child Safety is in homes as well. Classes are back all in person, so we're just resuming with caution. And then in Pima County, we were going to do an event. We usually do one every May, but it got canceled because we can't be getting that many people together. So we're looking maybe at the end of the year doing something for our foster parents as appreciation. I think just continue to work through the pandemic, working with the schools and how our children in foster care are doing. So keeping an eye on that, working with the Department of Child Safety too. So keeping busy, just trying to do what we can.
Perfect. Thanks, Sharon. Thank you for that. Okay. Anybody have any questions for Sharon?
If I may, is DCS and foster care now doing in-home visits?
Yes.
So my sense is that would be something for Access to also look at, to say if other agencies are doing in-home visits, that may argue for IOC being able to go to do visits too, especially if we're vaccinated and wear masks.
Just right. The Department of Child Safety has been doing masks, or they've been doing home visits since last May. Because they are children's guardians, they have to go in the homes. Right. And then we were instructed to do quarterly home visits until recently. So everything is completely back in person at this point. I know I've been out to different places across the state in homes and group homes and stuff like that. And people are pretty receptive as long as you're wearing a mask and just using proper guidelines. I mean, I know myself, I leave hand sanitizer in my car. So people, I mean, do different things. We have yet to come up with a plan because we know kids are going to visits and their parents aren't always wearing masks, but we just let the Department of Child Safety know that that is a concern for the foster parents. But at this point, everything is normal, I guess.
Thank you. That helps me.
Oh, good. That's good information. Thanks again, Sharon. Okay. Anyone else? Any more questions for Sharon? No. Okay. Move on to administrative miscellaneous. I don't know. Ken, do you have any miscellaneous that you would like to discuss? Oh, I know. Yes. Here's one. I'm turning it over to you, Ken. Are you there? About vice president, a VP, a vice chair, excuse me. Vice chair. Would you like?
Can you hear me, Barb?
Sure can.
Okay, because it was giving problems with this. Go ahead.
I'll let you jump in.
Okay, well, one of the things you had here is nomination committee, and just a little brief review. In the past, BC, before COVID, we had as far as two vice chairs always, and that was, you know, Joe Musinski, Ellie Shore, and then so on back several years back. So what I'd like to do with the committee's support and review, I'd like to make a nomination as far as entertain a motion from someone in the group and to nominate at least for a second vice chair, Susan Hyder. Susan's been with the group many, many years and had to take a brief recess, and now she's back on. And I thought that would be a good move to have, at least have two vice chairs. The other thing is later on in the year, I'm hoping that we'd have a nomination committee and then look at, you know, go through the year, get through this COVID situation, and then have a nomination for review of full officers like we put in our bylaws. So that's just my suggestion at this point, Barb,
okay.
to raise at least a motion to nominate for vice chair.
I have worked with Susan for years, and she's just been amazing and marvelous, and she's done the best annual reports I've ever seen. So I would like to start a motion that she be interim vice chair, if I could get any other committee members or you know to give me a second on that.
Well, y'all didn't give me much heads up on this.
Oh, you don't get any.
Apparently.
Yeah.
We're just gonna we're gonna crown you with you.
So I second. As long as Susan wants to do it, I think that's the.
Oh, Tyson, don't ask.
Yeah.
Okay, Susan, we'll let you have this once. Would you honor us and be a vice chair?
Yeah, well, of course.
Okay. Well, we've got it. Okay, so that's Tyson. You're seconding my motion. Okay, and so
thank you.
Let's do
thank
a
you.
Of yays and nays. Cool. Right? Correct?
Yeah, correct. Can you call out?
Hey, I
I vote yay. Ken.
Why doesn't everybody just raise their hand or do in chat and do it that way?
Okay, because I'm not on visibly.
Okay, I'm counting 1, 2, 3. Let's see, Tyson, yay. I say yay too. This is Barbara. Okay, and then we've got Joanna, yay. Good. Ken, yay. Let me see. I think we Sharon. I think she's in there too. I think. Oh
Sharon.
Yes, she's got her hand up. She's got her hand up. Perfect. All right. Well.
Okay. Motion carried.
Excited. Thank you. Motion carried. Welcome aboard as our vice chair, Susan.
And the first responsibility is write next year's annual report, Susan.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, good point. You know, okay. Congratulations,
timing,
Susan.
Folks. Very interesting timing.
Let me see. Do we? What else? Yeah. What else can we? Anyway, moving along. No.
Thank you.
That's wonderful, and I'm excited. That's good news. Okay. That's perfect. All right. And then again, like Ken mentions, we'll work on a more formal nominating committee maybe near the end of the year, and then we'll deal with that later. Okay, I'm going to do Reba and provider updates. So that'd be Joe and who else is Joe's here? And Melissa, I'll let you take over.
Hi, this is Melissa. I don't have any new updates today.
Thanks, Melissa.
And this is Joe with Banner. We don't have any updates at this time.
Okay, thanks. Any other providers?
Do we have any? No.
Let's see. By the way, this might be just for a minute. Asim, is there anything you'd like to add in? This would be a, why not, good opportunity. Do you have anything you'd like to say to us?
No, I don't have anything to add. I just want to thank you for having me.
Well, we're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here. I hope you'll come back next
yes.
month.
Or so. Thank you. Thank you, Asim. Okay. And then, any updates from Dr. Potts? Anything other than we've pretty much covered a lot, but have you got any updates for us?
No, not at all. And I, as Frederick mm-hmm. and we all know, and Larry, there's been a sea change in the interaction between Access and the way and our cooperation between Access and the IOCs. That as it was years ago, and you know better than anyone else because of the lawsuits you had to initiate the litigation secondary to lack of cooperation. I have right. one question though. You said something about getting a list in 30 to 45 days. What was that list, may I ask?
Through Melissa, she gets us the addresses and names of the unlicensed care homes where our clients are. And so those are the ones that we, you know, select from to go out and do site visits. It's a site visit list that she's able to get for us.
Right. But is there a notification to the sites prior to that list being generated?
No, we handle that ourselves.
Good.
And we generally
give
them, sometimes we give them a heads up, sometimes we do not, but mostly we give them a little heads up. I've had the experience that I'm glad I have because they've done a major cleaning before we get there. One place, just one quick story, had, I think, 20 feet long and 10 feet high crap put out on the front parking strip to be cleared away because we were, amazing. So site visits are useful. Make some cleaning.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Okay. But just let me jump in on that, Jack. Yeah, generally, we don't, other than maybe a courtesy 24-hour sometimes. If it's a brand-new one, we're going back the second time, we wouldn't necessarily have to give a courtesy heads-up type of thing. Other times, it's been also sometimes the sites have moved. And so I know with a couple occasions where the group has gone out, and there are a couple, usually we're always in twos, and then the place is vacant because it's, you know, not often. But so it was there's a logistical thing, but once you do that, but not, we're not giving a month's notice or something.
No, what helps is, so is there a way of getting a list of, I was at one 2 days ago, but a list of unlicensed sites where there are multiple SMIs located?
That's what we receive.
That's what Melissa would be preparing. And I would add to that licensed sites too.
Okay, because we can get license sites. We do that. That's easy to find. So
right. No, but I mean, to complete the list, not just exclude them.
That's Look, Dr. Potts, this is Jill Coatsman with Banner. I think that when we have our central IOC meeting, it'd be good for you to lean into Laura Pinkowski from Mercy Maricopa. She might be able to help.
That's exactly what I was trying to get at, how we do that. It's a good asset. Thank you very much for answering my question. And Central Arizona, thanks your committee for letting me participate, and we appreciate your participation in our committee as well. Thank you.
Ditto, Chair.
Melissa, are you still with us? I'm not sure. Are you?
I think she had to leave.
Okay. So Dr. Potts again, these are sites with multiple clients. With multiple SMI and others, but anyway, mostly SMI. And the nice thing about the list is it gives us a clue, although we do check this out, what agency they might be with too. It's a spreadsheet that she provides us. So, yeah. Any other questions on that, please send me an email if you think of things that, that would be helpful to you. And I can get Sharon to help us too. You know what the headings are on that spreadsheet that she gives us, if that would be helpful. Okay.
Sure. Good.
All right. Anybody, everyone, it looks like we're nobody, no reports from the public.
No, wouldn't care.
So I think it's time to wind move on with our day. And gosh, I hope everyone stays healthy and safe and dry. And so any last comments, questions, anything?
I just have a quick question for Larry. I was going to shoot you an email. I kept forgetting. When are the annual reports still up for, is it public review, and or when will they be actually posted?
That's a good question. The old reports are still on our website.
Right.
Website. The new report should be up here shortly. I'm waiting on my leadership to get everything approved and signed off on, which should be done sometime this week.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm going to revamp that website a little bit to make it a little bit more user-friendly.
Good.
For the group.
Good.
So,
that would be helpful.
Okay, thank you. Just curious.
And I'll let you know when everything's when there's a new post added, so you'll know. You're welcome.
Good. Barb, good meeting. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Ken. Thank you, everyone.
Good job.
For your participation. And thank you, Frederica, always. So I'm going to say, and Dr. Potts, it was really good having you here. All right, everyone.
Thanks, Dick.
Welcome,
Barbara. All right. Be safe.
Have a good day.
Have a good day, all.
You too. Wear your mask. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.